Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi, everyone. Good morning and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Kevin Wilds, Greg Jennings is joining us this morning. Hey, Dak and the boys are back at the table. Montana can't believe that Brady left New England. And we continue to social distance ourselves on a Thursday morning. Let us get right into the thing we do best. Talk sports, talk Dallas Cowboys. That's where we begin today. Well, the Cowboys have reportedly resumed contract negotiations with quarterback Dak Prescott, this after franchise tagging him earlier this month. Both sides reportedly close to a four-year deal with $35 million per. But, rumors now starting to swirl that if Dak doesn't get a deal done, he may not show up. Nick, how do you think Dak Prescott should feel about how this entire process so far has gone down?
Well, Jenna, I think at first blush, people would say it's very difficult to feel insulted by a team wanting to give you north of $30 million a year and guarantee for you nine figures via signing bonus and guaranteed dollars. But that's not really how people actually think. People usually judge themselves by their neighborhood, by how nice is my car in comparison to my neighbor's car. And Dak's neighborhood is not necessarily just top paid quarterbacks in football, but guys he shares a locker room with. And he plays on a team that has made a habit, more so than any team in football history, more so than any team in recent sports history, aside from the Yankees of the early 2000s, of making their guys not one of the highest paid, but the highest paid ever. I've got a list for you. Do you know which left tackle in all of NFL history has the biggest contract that's ever been signed? Cowboys tackle Tyron Smith. What about which guard in NFL history has the biggest contract a guard has ever signed? How about Cowboys guard Zach Martin? What center has the biggest contract a center's ever signed? Recently retired Cowboys center Travis Frederick. And by the way, the list continues. Biggest running back contract ever signed, Ezekiel Elliott. Biggest wide receiver contract ever signed, Amari Cooper. The biggest defensive end contract ever signed, DeMarcus Lawrence. Jalen Smith got the second biggest inside linebacker contract ever signed. So, Greg, if I'm Dak Prescott, I look around my neighborhood and say, everyone here's got a Bentley. So, yeah, a Ben sounds nice, but not in comparison to them. And I think that is a stumbling block for the Cowboys because of the dangerous precedent they've already set, Greg Jennings.
I agree 100%. And there is a level of disrespect that Dak Prescott is going to feel, and he does, and he has every right to feel that. And the reason why I say that is because when you feel like you've done everything that you've been asked of, and going into last season, the talk about surrounding Dak Prescott was, can he be consistent? Can he become more accurate? Can he actually lead this Cowboy team to the playoffs, deep into the playoffs? Well, one of those didn't happen, and it really didn't have to do with the play of Dak Prescott. He was every bit of special for this team. Had it not been for this team, the Dallas Cowboys would possibly only have won about five games, if that. And so when you've asked a player, when I've been asked as a player to live up to something, a standard, an expectation, that number one, I've set not only for myself, but I've set for all the guys around me, and I actually do it, you owe me something in return. And that's what Dak Prescott is saying to his Dallas Cowboy executives is, look, guys, I've done everything you've asked me to do from day one of me coming here. And then, Nick, you alluded to all the guys that you've decided to pay. And I'm supposed to be the guy, the National Football League revolves itself around the play of quarterbacks, and you choose to leave me on the outset? That's unfair. I feel disrespected. And I have every right to feel that way because my level of play says that I've earned the right to be that guy.
Wilds, let me ask you this. What do you say to the folks who say he wasn't a first-round pick? He, as well as he played, didn't lead his team to the playoffs this season when many projected them to win the division. So, yeah, he had good numbers, but who cares if you have good numbers if you don't live up to the Cowboy standard, which is win, 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 and get us back to a Super Bowl. Does he deserve to be the highest paid quarterback in the league if he hasn't done those things?
Well, it's a great question. And, Nick, I'm going to run a theory by you. Tell me if you buy this. What do you think about a theory I'm working on? It's called the Cowboy Bump. It's a cousin of the NBA's Laker effect. So here's the idea, that Dak could take less and eventually make more. With the idea being, if you win in Dallas, you become a movie star. You win somewhere else, you're a star, but you're like a YouTube star. You look at the past Cowboys quarterbacks. Romo just signed a $17 million deal. Aikman has been the number one guy on Fox's A-Team for 20 years. Don Meredith is Monday Night Football legend, and Roger Staubach is NFL royalty. So the idea being that maybe Dak takes just a little bit less because he knows that post-career, he's set up for life. Nick, do you buy that at all?
I would buy that if that's what the Cowboys had been trying to sell to anybody else. But what they've sold to everyone else is you get the Cowboys bump and we give you the biggest contract in NFL history at your position. And again, I want to make this very clear. If I were running the Cowboys, I would not pay Dak Prescott anywhere near what they've already offered him, much less what he wants. But if I were representing Dak Prescott, I would use the argument Greg Jennings used. And if they came to me with the argument Jenna Wolf said, which is you haven't lived up to our standard, I would say, with all due respect, Jerry and Steven, your standard is a figment of your imagination. In the 20 years before I set foot on this football field, you guys won the division four times. In the 4 years since I've been here, you've done it twice. In the 20 years before I got here, you made the second round of the playoffs three times. In the 4 years since I've been here, you've done it twice. In the 20 years before I got here, you were 8-8 or worse 11 times. In the 4 years I've been here, it's only happened once. I am your standard. And to act like you're going to pay me via Fox signing me to replace Troy Aikman in 15 years, miss me with that. I'm worried about the here and now. So I do think it exists, Wilds. I think it's a fair point. But if I'm Dak and his representation, that ain't your business, man. And so, and I know, Jenna, you naturally are put off at times by, geez, how much more do you need? They're guaranteeing you $110 million. You're going to fight over $120. And what I'd say to you, Jenna, is he was fighting over the spread between $100 and $110 back when he was making $2 million. So you're damn straight he's going to do it when he's set up to make $30-plus million in the franchise tag.
Can I just ask you guys a question? Greg, maybe I'll ask you. You played in the league. You know the Jerry Jones' reputation. Jerry Jones loves his guys. He treats his guys like they're his kids. He treated Tony Romo like he was his son. Dak became his next son. Is there part of this that surprises you that the Cowboys are playing hardball, if you will, with Dak Prescott, who could be, you know, their next big franchise everything?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, if you look at recent history, they played hardball with Ezekiel Elliott. But what has not happened until Ezekiel Elliott has decided to do it, and then before, prior to that, Emmitt Smith is one of the Cowboys and Jerry's sons or favorites say, look, I'm not taking that. I want more, and sit out and hold out. And I think that may be Dak Prescott's best option to really get and press the envelope and get what he's asking the Dallas Cowboys to give him. But Jerry Jones has done this before. He's not just going to hand you the money. You have to deserve the money and be deserving and then kind of want to fight for it and say, look, I deserve this. I not only have worked for this, you know that I'm worth it, and I will remain worth it as long as you buy into what I've already provided you with as tangible assets. And so I look at things a little differently, because from a player's perspective, and Nick, Kevin, you were talking about all the down the road things. I'm 100% with Nick. Miss me with all of that. I'm talking about here and now. And I think sometimes we tend to look at the down the road in the future a little too prematurely and forego what we can take and literally bring in right here, right now. And in this league, if a league that literally the career span is about 3.5 years, if that, it may be even 3 now, I need to make as much as I possibly can that I will be financially secure beyond my playing days, regardless if I decide to get in a broadcast booth or regardless of what the star may provide. I don't know that for certain. And so what I do know for certain is what I'm valued at right now. And so that's what I'm going to capitalize and jump on right here, right now.
Hang on, because you mentioned something in there. Nick, I got to ask you, do you think there's really a chance that Dak Prescott doesn't start the season because of all of this?
I think it is incredibly unlikely he misses actual games, a la Le'Veon Bell with the Pittsburgh, who refused to sign his franchise tag all year long. I think it's unlikely that Dak doesn't. If they don't come to a deal, I think he signs this before the start of the season. But does he sign it before the start of the offseason? And this is, Greg, I would imagine, a critical offseason. Because why? Not just because the Cowboys disappointed last year, because you got a new head coach. And you played for Mike McCarthy. You played, you were one half of a quarterback-receiver combo under Mike McCarthy. How important is this offseason for McCarthy's ability to A, take full control of the team? How can you get a message across if Dak's not in that room, first of all? Second of all, on the field, the quarterback and wide receivers understanding what they need to do in unison in a Mike McCarthy offense, how critical is it for the Cowboys' ability to reach their full potential this year, Greg? Is it that Dak Prescott is available for every single minute of the offseason once the season does open up?
So to answer your first question, as far as Mike McCarthy getting his point across without the guy who he talked about even in his press conference, excited him about the opportunity to coach the Dallas Cowboys, and that player being Dak Prescott, it would be a challenge. It would be a challenge for a couple reasons. Number one, because your quarterback sets the tone, specifically in the offseason when you have guys who have offseason bonuses and tend to forego that. If your quarterback is there, they can be your voice. They are the extension of the coach. And so if Dak Prescott decides, I'm not going to come in, I'm not going to be there, that can be problematic from just that perspective and that standpoint. Number two, Mike McCarthy is huge on quarterback school. He wants to give you as much information in the offseason as possible, so that during the regular season, when you start playing games, I don't have to go back and revisit all the things that should have been learned and taught and reviewed in the offseason. Now I just sharpen up things because you know it. You've gone through it more than what you would possibly even go through in the regular season, and you've spent more time on it. And the language, the verbiage, I get it. He's played football. Football is going to be football. But the verbiage, the language, conveying that to your receivers, the checks, the things that he's going to have responsibility on and over, he needs to be there for that early rather than later. We've seen it with him and Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper being acquired later in the season, and then Dak Prescott, prior to the acquisition of Amari Cooper, struggling. Well, it starts in the offseason. When you have a full offseason, we saw what they were capable of doing this past season because they had an offseason together. And so when you look at them going into a regular season and having the opportunity to have another offseason together under a new head coach who is going to potentially bring in some new plays, new language, possibly, you need that time to develop that chemistry and that camaraderie and just that rapport with what it's going to look like, how it's going to feel, what I see now, what you see now, how I can communicate it to you to better effectively get the result that we're all looking for.
All right. Well, the news this morning, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys back at the table. Let's see what happens with that.
Have you ever had muscle pain? I'm talking stop you in your tracks. I'll never work out again. What am I going to do kind of pain? This is the kind of pain Dr. Jason Wersland was in when he created Theragun, the deep muscle massager that's unlike anything you've ever felt. Theragun isn't a cheap massager that just tickles your muscles. Their handheld percussive device uses a scientifically calibrated combination of speed, depth, and power to release the deepest muscle tension. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just everyday life, you can use Theragun. Theragun is the preferred muscle recovery device for over 250 professional sports teams and used by hundreds of thousands of satisfied customers around the world to reduce pain, increase range of motion, and soothe aching muscles. Try Theragun risk-free for 30 days or your money back by going to theragun.com/cadence. For a limited time, our listeners get a free charging stand with a purchase, a $79 value. That's theragun.com/cadence, theragun.com/cadence.
Back here, first things first, we'll play a little game. We'll call it Drawing a Blank. Todd Gurley tweeted out his excitement to be an Atlanta Falcon. One NFL scout believes Atlanta is getting the, quote, good Gurley. Nick, if Gurley returns to his all-pro form, the Falcons will be blank.
Sorry, I'm only laughing because what a quote from that scout. I think we're getting the good Gurley, not the bad Gurley, not the injured Gurley, the good Gurley. If he returns to his all-pro form, the Atlanta Falcons will be NFC South champions. Now, I don't think he has this in him anymore, unfortunately, because of that arthritic knee. But if Todd Gurley goes back to top three league MVP candidate, best running back in football, great receiving back, then this Falcons team can have the best offense they've had since they made the Super Bowl. I think the Saints will be good but are trailing off. I'm obviously not buying the Tampa hype, and Carolina's rebuilding. So if you get that version of Todd Gurley, the Falcons will be NFC South champions, Greg Jennings.
Wow, that's a huge statement. I think they would be exciting, and that really being all. I've been in on the Falcons for reasons that I don't even know myself the last couple of years of just thinking that they could get back to where they were a few years ago in the Super Bowl and NFC South champions. But even if Todd Gurley does get back to where we've seen him at elite status, I don't think their defense is where it once was. And so with that NFC South and the offenses that are down there, you got to play defense. And I just don't know if they can get back to that level of defense.
Yeah, Greg, it's funny you mentioned the Super Bowl. I'm going bad for Brady. I think the Falcons saw that Tom Brady signed with the Bucs and they said, let's go, revenge time. And then Todd Gurley comes. I think this is terrible for Tom Brady because the Falcons want Brady bad.
Hate to break it to you all. Nobody recovers from arthritis. All right, moving on to Tampa Bay now.
Oh, Jenna,
when Antonio Brown was asked if he would sign with the Bucs, AB said, expeditiously. So, Nick, Mr. Big Chest landing with Brady and the Bucs would be blank.
AB actually used the word expeditiously. That's the upset of the year thus far. And by the way, quickly before I answer, Wilds' ability to turn everything into Brady or the Patriots, it is really almost trumping my ability to make every NBA question about LeBron. It's a superpower, and I want to see if you can continue it for the segment. But now to answer your question, it's straight out of Madden. It makes perfect sense in a video game. It makes perfect sense on paper. Oh, a guy who is the most overqualified slot receiver in the NFL, one of the best players under 6 feet tall in the history of football to go alongside monster Mike Evans and breakout player Chris Godwin. But it's not Madden. There's real human beings involved. There's personalities, whether it be ABs, vast off the field issues, or the question of, we only do have one football to go around, right? So I don't think it actually works in real life, but in Madden, it would be extraordinary, Greg.
Which is why I think it would be must-see TV, because who doesn't play Madden and dream big and try to configure the best roster that you possibly can? That's what this game is all about, trying to configure the best roster, not only from a personnel standpoint, but a personality standpoint, which is, again, why it would be must-see TV, because we don't know what to expect from Antonio Brown. And the idea of he would be okay and Brady would be able to micromanage, if you will, or control to a degree what we've seen to this point, it's a long shot. And I would just love to see it, just to see how the others respond to it, the Mike Evans and the Chris Godwin, because from jump, everybody would be excited and say, yeah, we got this great roster, this great team of guys. But then once that ball starts missing them, as a receiver, I know you start looking on the bench and you're not communicating like, I'm not involved. You start feeling a certain way, your play starts to dictate, your emotion starts to rise. It would be must-see TV.
When the first Tom Brady article that came out of the Tampa Bay Tribune, when he asked for everyone's phone numbers. Oh, sorry, I'm going narrative breaking. Sorry, throw that up there. So in that article, he asked the Bruce Arians about his wide receivers and his team. He said, are they good guys? It matters to him, the character of the team. And I'm not sure we can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's the journey that AB is on right now. I hope he gets there. That's not where he's at right now.
I don't know how much it matters. Still. He invited AB to live with him when he was still a member.
That wasn't
of
great
the New
either.
England
he's
Patriots.
Trying to Brady, he's trying
is.
To help him.
Let us move on.
He's a saint.
Yeah. To the Dallas Cowboys now, who have reportedly reopened contract talks with Dak Prescott. The number being floated around $35 million per year. So Nick, Dak turning down this deal would be blank.
Icarus-esque. And for those people that aren't up on their Greek mythology, Icarus was a person. His dad made him some wings. His dad was a god. His dad had imprisoned a centaur, but now I'm losing the plot a bit. Made him some wings out of feathers and wax, but he told him, don't fly too close to the sun, or else the wings will melt. But Icarus, of course, didn't listen to his dad. Who wants to listen to their dad? Flew too close to the sun, wings melted, and he drowned at the bottom of the ocean. Dak Prescott, you're flying awfully close to the sun, my friend. You're playing with a very dangerous game as far as you already rolled the dice once, saying, I'm not going to get hurt. I'm going to end up proving my worth. You want to roll that dice again with $110 million guaranteed sitting in front of you? So I say it would be Icarus-esque. And I also say during this time of social distancing, everyone should reread the Iliad as I am doing, which probably inspired the answer. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, for me, it would be mind-blowing simply because you got to take advantage of what you're being offered when it's really good money. And why I say that is because no one here believes that Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback in this league. And so to be paid as such, you kind of got to strike while the iron's hot. And to your point, Nick, we don't know if he can go through another season unscathed. And that's a bit important at the quarterback position to be healthy.
Jenna, this is super insane coincidence. I also had Icarus-esque. I'm also reading the Iliad. I can't believe it. Nick took my answer. So sorry. I don't have anything. You put savvy up there, but I had Icarus-esque. Good, Nick took it. Sorry.
I'm rereading Encyclopedia Britannica. I'm good. Not quite there. Okay. Jokes on jokes on jokes, jokes, Nicholas. On to the Panthers. With Cam Newton out in Carolina, it is officially Christian McCaffrey's team now, but Pro Football Focus released an article explaining why the team should trade the all-pro running back. Nick, the Panthers trading McCaffrey would be blank.
Logical. So logical. When I saw this question, I was like, oh, the Panthers are actually considering trading McCaffrey. Finally, a forward-thinking move. And then I realized, no, just the smart people of Pro Football Focus are saying it. The Panthers, who don't seem to know which way they want to go, they're not actually considering it. If you are rebuilding, and when you move on from the greatest player in the history of your franchise in somewhat disrespectful fashion, as they have with Cam Newton, you are rebuilding, then holding on to the best player on your team, who has the most value on your team, but also the shortest shelf life of anyone on your team, and is one offseason away from commanding a massive deal, would be insane. So, of course, it would be smart. I think you could get a first-round pick and something for Christian McCaffrey. There are a dozen teams in the NFL that would love to have him, who are trying to win a Super Bowl right now. And so I think it's logical. I don't know if they would do it, but for a team like the Panthers that's trying to take a very long view, signing Matt Rhule to a 7-year contract as such, it'd be logical. I don't know if they'll do it, though.
I think it would be a complete mistake. And the reason why is when you acquire a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, a guy that really relies on the check down pass and has relied on that since he got into the National Football League, because he hasn't really developed his ability to just air the ball out across the field to receivers down the field. He likes that check down option in his running back. And Christian McCaffrey, as we know, is more than just a check down running back. He is literally a receiver and running back all into one. You can't let him go with that value that he brings for your quarterback.
I'm going Bridgewater to nowhere. If I was Teddy Bridgewater, I'd walk into Joe Brady's office and be like, by the way, second best Brady in the division. I'd walk into Joe Brady's office and be like, hey, what? I got sold a bill of goods here, guys. I thought I was going to get Alva Kamara plus, and now I've got nothing because you traded him for the future? Get out of here. Bridgewater to nowhere. Wait till this next question. I'm excited for this. I got instruction paper for the next question.
I like it. I like it a lot, Wilds. All right, let's get to Tom Brady now. The new Bucs quarterback is filing for a TB by TB trademark. Tom Brady, Tampa Bay. Totally bodacious. Nick, Brady filing for a TB by TB trademark is blank.
Hold on. Nothing? Listen. FS1 today, Undisputed's on for 2 hours. The Herd's doing his full three. Then we got Speak. Nothing in the next 6.5 hours of great programming we have coming up is going to top Jenna Wolf saying the word bodacious. Straight out of Bill and Ted's Wild Adventure. That was spectacular, Jenna. I love the word choice. It's great. Now to answer the question. Tom Brady filing a TB by TB 12, TB by TB trademark is memeable. Can't you see it right now? I can see it already. A picture on the internet of Tom Brady being sandwich sacked by Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport while fumbling the football, and the Bucs are 5-7. And you see TB by TB. Tom Brady walking off the field in frustration in an odd Bucs uniform as he approaches his first losing season ever as a pro. TB by TB. I can see the memes already. Tommy, go file this trademark. I'm excited for it. Memeable is my answer, Greg Jennings.
Look, this is brilliant. Again, I come from a player's perspective. Anytime you can make money off of this league doing something your own way without them getting a dime, go do it. Tom, take advantage of every opportunity you have, which is why I love the way he's thinking. everyone would think, oh, what is he doing? If he would have went to L.A. and done something like this, we would have thought, oh, he's not focused. But he goes to Tampa Bay and wants to do the same type of thing, take advantage of who he is and where he's headed. Do it, Tom. Make money, as much money you possibly can.
All right. So here's, I've got construction paper. We tried to pre-prod it. And our producer's like, it's not going to work. I'm like, I know it's not going to work. I'm in my basement with my kids' construction paper. We're going to try our best. So get this. I put thought-provoking. Watch this. TB times CB. I know it doesn't work. You got to use your imagination. So I'm like, oh, what else would work? And then I'm like, because I'm a Patriots fan, I wrote NE plus NE. You have to use your imagination. Uh-oh, what's coming up, Nick Wright? NE times N-E-W-T-O-N, Cam to the Patriots. It works out perfectly. It works. You have to admit it.
NE to Newton. I get it.
Cam's going to the Patriots.
It's terrible.
Print up the t-shirts.
And the producers were correct not to put it on television, and you just ignored them. But I get it. I like where your head's at. I just stuck with Icarus-esque for this one.
Look around you. It's a wireless world, and everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. And Raycon's latest model, E25, is their best one yet. With 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable, perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, with no dangling wires or stems. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/FTF. That's buyraycon.com/FTF for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/FTF.
Back here on First Things First, we're talking Tom Brady. So with the ink on his new Bucs contract still drying, Hall of Famer Joe Montana weighed in. He thinks somebody in New England, quote, made a mistake letting Brady get away from the Patriots. Wilds, you're a Patriots guy here on the panel. What do you make of Montana's comments?
Oh, mistakes were made, Jenna. Like, yeah, obviously mistakes were made. Here's the interesting thing. Tom Brady went to Montana's last game at Candlestick. Tom Brady knows this. He's a student of the game. I don't think this is anything new. He knows Montana's legacy and how it played out in Kansas City. There is one interesting thing that I loved, and by loved, I meant terrified me, that Montana said. I'll read it. He'll be a good addition to the team as long as they don't hold the ball like they've been doing. I don't think he fits into that category to hold the ball. Can he do it? Yeah. But physically, it becomes a different game when you've got to hang on because you're going to get hit. Greg, this terrifies me that Tom Brady's going to get beat up in Tampa, especially coming from Montana, when who's taken a decent amount of hits in his career. Can you give me some insight in what it's like to get hit your rookie year and maybe your last year and how your kind of whole world changes?
It is completely different. It really is. It becomes more and more a mental game. I'm reminded of last season when Sam Darnold made these comments about seeing ghosts. Like, when you get the older you get, you start to feel things that aren't really there. You start to see things that it's almost like looking in the rearview mirror, but you're looking on the right side. Objects may appear closer than they actually are. That's how you feel the older you get. And it's the reality that we all go through. It's something that you only can experience or go through by way of experience. And with Tom Brady, he's already shown us. Nick, you've talked about it. Wilds, you've experienced it as a Patriot fan. We watched him last year in the pocket, getting rid of balls the moment he saw pressure or just taking a sack before even taking the hit. So it's definitely going to impact him. And I think Joe Montana would know better than most.
So, Nick, I got to ask you, you know, I read this article and I thought Belichick has to have a plan. Belichick always has a plan. He must know exactly what he wants to do and what he's going to do. Do you think Montana's right that the Patriots will ultimately regret letting Brady go?
Well, I think there are so many more possible end results that end in regret than feeling like they made the right decision, which is why I find this decision by Belichick so fascinating. And I said a couple days ago, I thought it's arguably the boldest decision a head coach has made in the history of the NFL. Think about how many different endings on the spectrum of possibilities result in the Patriots feeling regretful about this. And by regretful, they just blame Belichick because the owner wanted to keep him, the fans wanted to keep him, the teammates wanted to keep him, and Brady wanted to sign an extension in 17, 18, and 19. Belichick wouldn't give it to him. If the Bucs end up being awesome, no matter what the Patriots do, Patriot fans and ownership in the team will regret this. If Tom Brady puts up monster numbers, even if the Bucs aren't great, the Patriots will end up regretting this. And if the Patriots, to your point, Jenna, don't get their quarterback position settled, and by the way, that just doesn't mean this year or next year. There are teams that have been in the wilderness for a decade trying to find a quarterback. They might not get it settled again. And if that happens, then of course they will regret this. And for folks who say, well, we trust in Bill Belichick, I understand that. And by the way, I believe moving on from Brady was the right move. However, Belichick's drafted a bunch of quarterbacks since Brady. None of them turned into quality NFL starters except for Jimmy Garoppolo. Plenty of them had abbreviated NFL careers. So, yeah, there are a lot of paths, Jenna, where this ends up with great regret for New England.
Just wait for Jarrett Stidham. I'll show you what he can do. Back here, first things first, it is time for Stories to Start Your Morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. So Stefon Diggs set the internet on fire yesterday, asking people on Twitter who their top five wide receivers of all time are. Greg Jennings, you're a wide receiver. We're seeing your picks